The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 20 degrees and partially cloudy at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Marina Tsepong-Muzar.
And I'm Cassidy Jacobs.
And here are today's headlines. A Montreal city councillor declares a state of emergency on homelessness. The Quebec government considers eliminating the time change. And a rally at the Montreal courthouse after protests shut down the Jacques Cartier Bridge.
Montreal's mayor is holding a news conference at City Hall right now. She's expected to announce she will not be running for another term as mayor. Joji Furukawa joins us at the studio with more. Joji?
That's right, Cassidy. Radio Canada is reporting that she will not be running for another term. Plante was first elected back in 2017. She is known for environmental policies, including bike paths, closing streets to car traffic in the summer, and most recently, a new composting plant. Her administration has also had its fair share of controversy. Last summer, the closure of several restaurants, street terraces before Grand Prix weekend was strongly criticized for miscommunication. We're following the conference as it unfolds, and we'll have more information soon. Cassidy?
Thank you, Joji. Ahead of the next time change, there are questions about whether Quebecers still want to shift the clocks, and now the government is getting involved. Dario De Felice reports.
The Quebec government is launching a public consultation about scrapping the twice-yearly time change in the province. Justice Minister Simon Jolin-Barrette says changing the clocks has important impacts on the lives of Quebecers. He's inviting citizens to voice their opinions in an online forum.
Our goal is to be able to answer the preoccupation of Quebecers, and we will see in the next few months what we will do with the result of the consultation.
Ahead of the next time change on November 3rd, the government is looking to settle the long-debated practice. Adrienne Perrache is a McGill University Associate Professor at the Montreal Neurological Institute. He says Quebecers would benefit from not changing the clocks.
And there's no really good reason to actually force people to go through this jet lag twice a year.
Perrache says time changes are a source of stress that can easily be avoided.
It's going to impair like many different things. Usually, you know, takes place at a very fixed schedule. And now you have to shift all this by an hour.
Quebecers have until December 1st to vote for or against daylight savings time at consultation.quebec.ca. Dario De Felice, CJCN, Montreal.
Premier François Legault says he wants to tighten controls over secularism in Quebec schools. The Education Ministry has suspended 11 teachers at Bedford School after a report describing a toxic environment of fear and bullying over 8 years. Some politicians are focusing on religion as the main issue, but the report says it was only one of the numerous problems at the schools. A Quebec Superior Court judge has dismissed McGill's request to expand the ban on protests on the university's campus. Reporter Gaspard Baudouin-Bellemare is at the McGill campus with more. Gaspard? What was the injunction about and how did it affect students?
So, protesting was forbidden at McGill for 10 days following the protests on October 7th, and McGill wanted to extend the ban even further. This caused outrage among the students who complained about free speech. But however, yesterday, the Quebec court refused to accept McGill's demand, now allowing students.
And Gaspard, what is the atmosphere among McGill students on campus today?
So, some zones are still blocked, but overall, students are glad to be able to protest again. It's important for them. And I'm leaving you here with Rachel Buchanan, a student who is highly involved in protest with McGill.
I think protesting is a fundamental right, and everyone should be able to express what they find important, what they support.
Thank you, Gaspard.
An independent Montreal city councillor is calling on the city to take action as the number of unhoused people continues to soar. Emma Ojello has more.
Craig Sauvé is city councillor for the Sud-West Borough. He says the city should declare a state of emergency on homelessness as soon as possible. Centraide Montreal says homelessness is no longer limited to downtown Montreal. It has now spread to Laval and the South Shore, as well as other neighborhoods.
It's getting more dangerous for people living in situations of homelessness. And, you know, action is required. So I think that solution can be brought back. And I think we need to pose serious gestures.
Homelessness has been an ongoing issue in the city. The island of Montreal now has the highest percentage of unhoused people in Quebec. About 10,000 people in the city are experiencing homelessness. Solvay says it's Quebec's responsibility more than Montreal's, but neither is taking the lead.
Well, clearly, you know, there's risk of people freezing to death for real, you know, and as a society in a G7 country, I think we ought to be worried about that. And we ought not tolerate the fact that we know that's going to happen. We ought to be proactive and try to prevent people from dying out on the streets.
Last winter, 9 unhoused people had to be treated for frostbite with 2 cases of amputation. With winter approaching, Sovia is worried that no one is taking action. For CJCN, I'm Emma Ogello.
The Black Community Resource Center is launching a new podcast for Black students. It will teach students more of the history of Black communities in Montreal while also teaching them podcasting skills. Desiree Zach Bay reports.
Jalia Dominique is a kinesiology student at Concordia. She says the podcast will help students learn more about Black cultures.
And I just felt like it would be more inclusive for everybody to, and informative for everybody to know like about more about Black culture, and it can't hurt anybody to learn more. So,
Ayana Manuma is a podcast coordinator. She says it will help Black students to gain broader knowledge of Black history. They will also get podcasting skills that may help them create their own podcasts in the future.
So the purpose of doing this project is to educate the community on Montreal's rich Black history that often goes unknown and we don't really hear about or know about.
Manuma hopes the podcast will be seen as educational and fun. She also hopes it will further the conversation about Black history in Montreal.
Opening the door to other research projects or other podcasts or other projects basically that encourage the education on the history of Blacks in Montreal.
Students will start working on the podcast in the next month and it will last for 13 months. For CJCN, I'm Desiree Zagbe.
Since October 7th, some university and Cégep students in Montreal have been concerned about rising anti-Semitism on campus. The Jewish student organization, Hillel Montreal, says it's concerned as well and it's working to help students. Kyla Ifergen reports.
Hillel Montreal is looking for ways to help Jewish students deal with problems we're seeing on campus. The organization met with Liberal MNA Fred Bouchemin earlier this week. Etan Kovac is the Advocacy and Engagement Associate of Hillel Montreal.
Fred spoke to the students quite a bit about the importance of real and competent leadership in combating hate and discrimination anywhere, and specifically the importance of leadership in combating hatred here at home, so in Montreal and Quebec and in Canada.
The meeting is part of efforts to address concerns about anti-Semitism in Montreal's CJEPs and universities. Hillel Montreal posted this Instagram video on March 27th. It shows McGill students being blocked from accessing class by pro-Palestine demonstrators. Kovac hopes political leaders can offer support in finding solutions.
It's super important because Fred himself, having a lot of experience in the political world, can help students navigate the very challenging obstacles on campus in terms of building bridges with other students and finding connections and reasons to bond instead of reasons to hate.
Last month, Hillel Montreal met with a Muslim peace activist to talk about building bridges. Loay Al-Sharif focused on using social media to help foster Muslim-Jewish reconciliation. Hillel says it is committed to working together and promoting understanding. Organizers believe that collaboration is key to fighting anti-Semitism and bringing people together in Montreal. Kayla Ifrigan, CJCN, Montreal.
Boeing is reporting a $6 billion loss in its third quarter. It's caused by chain issues in Boeing's commercial airplane sector. The loss comes as a blow to the company, as it just had a communication satellite explode in space last weekend. The explosion caused telecom outages to customers in Europe, Asia, and Africa. A rally is being held this morning outside the Montreal courthouse after 3 people were arrested for climbing the Jacques Cartier Bridge. Andrea Caceres joins us live outside the courthouse with an update.
Activists from Calixtus, Antigone, and Last Generation Canada are standing in support of 3 people currently facing court proceedings.
We will be continuing to mobilize people in the streets and continue with sustained resistance and action.
Beth Marshall, organizer of Collectif Octogone, is encouraging people to join. Supporters have been outside Palais de Justice since 8:30 this morning, currently inside the courtroom. The organization says that humanity is in crisis and the time for moderation and peaceful protests is over. Now, authorities had originally detained two people, but a third person was arrested for peacefully protesting. Marshall says that taking direct action comes with risk, but sacrifice is necessary. 5 years ago, the Jacques-Cartier Bridge was also crying action. I spoke with some supporters, and they're saying that the government has failed them and nothing has changed. They wanted to add that the status quo is now. We will be getting more information shortly after the court's decision. Cassidy?
Thank you, Andrea.
With Hurricane Milton and Helen fresh off their path, experts are focusing on what's behind these stronger storms and how to improve prediction. Dimitra Kritsidimas reports.
Josme Lopez is an oceanographer at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in the U.S. He says what made Milton special was how fast it went from a tropical storm to a Category 5 hurricane.
You need significant amount of energy in the climate system to spin up something that by that much.
The source of that energy is the warming Gulf of Mexico.
All of this water that is being pushed in from the Gulf of Mexico that has nowhere to go.
Unusually high temperatures, both at the surface and in deeper waters, are driving the rapid intensification of storms.
So to put it in perspective, the warmest temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico typically occurs in early September. But by the month of May, we were already at that threshold. And the temperatures kept rising well above that expected value of your typical summers.
Marine heat waves are keeping sea surface temperatures unusually warm for extended periods of time. They also cause more evaporation, giving storms more fuel to rapidly change their wind speed.
The sky almost looks white. It's a very eerie and strange thing.
Lopez says there will be fewer storms, but they'll be more intense.
The consensus is future storms because of anthropogenic climate change. Anthropogenic mean human-induced, are going to be stronger.
As storms evolve, severe weather forecasting has become essential. Chris Fogarty is the director of the Canadian Hurricane Center in Halifax. He says satellite technology is advancing.
But now the satellites have more ability to see not just the top of the cloud, but inside the cloud. They can detect the structure, the precipitation, and the wind within the storm.
Forecasters also use other technologies such as ocean gliders and cell drones. Soheil Radfar is a coastal hazards researcher at the University of Alabama at Tuscaloosa. He believes forecasters need to do even more. He says the current forecasting models make it hard to predict rapid intensification, but there is data that could improve these systems.
We can use this marine heatwave information and see and the marine heatwave intensities and put them in our machine learning model to better help them forecast rapid intensification even.
Radfar says a better early warning system will help coastal communities to better prepare for severe weather and even save lives. Dimitra Kritsidimas, CJCN, Montreal.
The Canada Food Inspection Agency has issued a recall on frozen waffles due to listeria contamination. Melanie Tremblay-Turgeon joins us in the studio with more.
Cassidy, this issue was detected during routine testing at a facility in Brantford, Ontario. Various brands, including Great Value, Compliments, Selection, and No Name, are included in the recall. The Canada Food Inspection Agency warned that although food may be smell or taste rotten, they can still be infected with listeria.
So what can you tell us about listeria?
Listeria is a bacteria that, for most people, can cause fever, chills, muscle aches, nausea, and diarrhea. It can prove very serious for pregnant women, people aged 65 and over, and people with weakened immune systems.
What can people do if they have these waffles in their freezer?
The CFIA says to either throw out the frozen waffles or to take them back to the store where you purchased them. Cassidy?
Thank you, Melanie.
The Montreal Canadiens lost their home game yesterday against the New York Rangers. In the first 11 minutes, Rangers scored the first four goals of the match, leading the game 4-0. Nick Suzuki scored two goals, bringing the Canadiens back in the game. With a final score of 7-2, the Rangers showed the domination that Habs fans feared. Last night was a rough one for CF Montreal. The team played Atlanta United at home for its first playoff game. Montreal lost on penalties, but how did the game start?
Thank you, Mary. So we had a clear advantage at the start. The game started out pretty well for us with a lot of possession and many more occasions. Unfortunately, Atlanta scored on the 29th minute with Brooks Lennon shooting it in the back of the neck.
And what about Atlanta's second goal?
So it happened at the 44 minutes and was scored by Stian Gregersen. It happened on a counterattack, which are the way most of the goals were scored today for Atlanta United.
How did the second half go?
So we were clearly more dominant than we were at the start, even though we already were. But this time we were about to actually find the back of the net with the first goal for Joseph Martinez on the 63rd minute. And then the second goal, a penalty goal on the 89th minute. So just before the additional time for, again, Joseph Martinez.
So no one else managed to score after. How did the penalty shutout went?
So it started pretty well for us. Joseph Martinez went first and obviously put it in the back of the net, which makes it a hat trick for him yesterday. And unfortunately, the second goal scorer for Montreal, Tom Pierce, had seen his shot blocked by the opposite goalkeeper. And all the rest of the team managed to score them, but yeah, at the end it was a 5-4 for Atlanta United.
So Mathilde, who was the star of the game for Montreal?
For many fans, including Youssef Rigon, it's going to be Joseph Martinez, the Venezuelan striker.
He scored two goals, two pens, one great goal. He's always so smart in offense. He always knows when to let the ball or leave the ball or to take it.
What's next for the club?
So, unfortunately, Montreal won't play till next season. The 2025 ticket season already on sale and a press conference should happen soon regarding the end of the season at the club. For Atlanta United, they will face Inter Miami.
Thank you, Mathilde.
Today, it's mostly sunny with a chance of rain this afternoon. There will be no wind and the high is 24. Tonight will be cloudy with a 60% chance of rain and the low is 15. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a mix of clouds. The high will be 12 and the low will be 6. Right now in Montreal, it is 22 degrees. That's your news for 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Cassidy Jacobs.
And I'm Marie-Lotte Fonzor.